Michael O'Donnell, and we are on the road to Nina, and he's going to tell me a couple of stories. So the one that you mentioned a couple of times, Michael, was the story of the mayor.
The mayor and Fall, yeah.
Yeah.
And I tell you what it was. I had a mayor called Lizzie. And she was a big mare that I trained myself, and I used to ride around the roads here, all around. So she had a lovely foal, and the foal, a beautiful foal, but after a very short while, I noticed that the foal wasn't suckling the way he should be suckling. And he was just hanging in there, and quite literally hanging in there, because his head was hanging down, and he wouldn't scarper away from you when you'd go near him, the same as most foals will. All foals, in fact, that I've ever had, will always just scarper away from you when you go near them. And I was getting very worried about him. And I just didn't know what to do, you know, because the mare, she had plenty of milk. And her milk tasted fine. I actually tasted it myself to make sure it was okay, that it wasn't rancid or anything like that. And anyhow, I said to Diane one day that I must get the vet. I said to Diane, was living in one of the other cottages, and I said to her, I must get out the vet, I said, to look at that foal, because I'm really worried about her. And now, I would be very slow to call the vet, because every time you call the vet, you're talking about 50 or 60 euro, I suppose. And anyhow, I was at a loss as to what I could do. The mare had plenty of milk. The foal was barely walking around the place, and the head hanging down. And I went anyway, and I called out the vet, a girl called Kathleen, brilliant with horses. She has all her own horses as well, and she's really a natural in that respect. So Kathleen came out, and she examined the foal, and she said to me, well, I can't find anything wrong with it, but she says, there's something seriously wrong with the foal, she says. She says, I'd say no, it could be maybe genetic or something like that. And she says, I'm afraid, she says, it probably won't ever do any good for you, you know. So I said to her, well, is there anything at all you can do? And she says, well, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But she says, I don't know what I can do, she said. Yeah, she says, I can't see anything that's obviously, there's no infection, there's nothing like that. And but she says, there's obviously something seriously wrong with him. So Kathleen went away anyhow, and I said to Diane, I don't know, was it that evening now or the following evening, I was looking at the clouds in the sky, and it was getting very cold and wet, and I said, the foal now was just, I suppose, a couple of months old, and I said to Diane, I said, do you know something, I says, if it rains on that foal tonight, I says, that's it, I says, he'll just go down. So I said to Diane then, I said, I'll tell you what, I says, I'll bring the mare up onto the fort, and I says, if you can hold her there, I says, then I says, I'll get the foal up. So I brought the mare up onto the fort, and I went back for the foal, and the foal was just standing in the air, not a move out of it, and I went straight over to him and put my arm around his hindquarters, and my other arm kind of under his neck supporting his front part, and I just more or less, I suppose you could say, pushed him along in front of me, and I had to push him up the slope of the fort. I got him in through the shed, and it was just, he was just like an old dog or something, a quite old dog that we have very short time left to live. So I got him up into the fort anyway, and pushed him over towards the mother. And he went towards the mother. I thought maybe he was going to suckle her, but he put in the nose, and then he took out the head again, and he was snivelling and twisting his nostrils, you know, and no sign of him suckling her or anything. So we both sat down on like the root of a tree that was growing along on the surface of the fort. We sat down on that, and I was pondering and talking my thoughts aloud, and I was saying, Jesus, what will we do with him at all, like, you know. And it was starting to get dark, and there was a moon in the sky, I remember, the same evening, but it was getting dark, and the next thing, this dark cloud, I said to Diane, I said, do you know something, I says, one good shower of rain now, I says, that foal is gone. And I said, it's going to take a miracle, says I, either from yourself or from the leprechauns, I says, for to cure him. And I said it again the second time. I said, it's going to take a miracle now, I says, from the fairies or the leprechauns, I says, to cure him. That's why I said it the second time. And with that, this black cloud passed over the moon, and the place was plunged into darkness. And I heard like the snap of a twig behind me in the bushes. More over towards where the mayor had been standing than behind me, but at the back of us at the same time. And the next thing I heard, all this flurrying and rushing like through the trees and the branches, and it was a little bit weird, a little bit frightening, because it was completely out of the context of what the scene had been up to then, when it just had been quiet and nothing moving or stirring or anything like that. So I said to Diana, listen, I said, what's that? I said, and she was kind of saying to me to listen at the same time as I was saying to her. And we stopped anyway, and we listened, and we heard all this carry on going through the bushes, rustling through the bushes. And I straight away it came into my mind what I was after saying about the fairies and the leprechauns. And with that, the cloud passed over the moon, and there was like a kind of a beam of light came down from the moon. And there, in front of our eyes, was this half-dead foal, and he bombing around the fort.
Is that right?
Flying around one way, and the next thing, he'd go over to the mother, and he'd go up on the back legs against the mother, and then he'd turn and fly around the other way again. And when I say fly, I mean galloping around, you know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. Here was a foal in the full exuberance of youthfulness, and acting the way a foal should be. And this very same foal was half dead an hour previously. I could not believe it for the life of me. And the following day, I went over to that foal to see, could I catch him the same way as I'd caught him for weeks or more prior to that occasion. And no way could I get near the foal. Anytime he saw me coming, he'd scarper over around to the other side of the mother. And no way could I catch him. And finally, before I could catch that foal, I had to get the two of them into a small stable. And I had to get, through intrigue and what have you, get in around for to get a rope over his neck. And I finally caught him, and I put a head collar on him. And it took me weeks later before I could do that. Up to that point, when I brought him up onto the fairy fort, I could walk over to him anywhere at all. And I could walk over to him without walking stealthily. I could walk over to him very brusquely and rough, and he would just stand there, quiet as a mouse.
Wow.
And that's why I was so worried about him, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, it was nothing short of a miracle. Like, I was absolutely blown away by that. Absolutely amazed, you know?
Yeah.
So,
that's amazing.
Shinne an scale. Which is the Irish, as you probably know, for that's the end of the story, we'll say. You know?
Brilliant.
Wasn't that absolutely fantastic, though?
That's incredible.
You know, that the way that could all sort of happen like that, you know?
Had you ever had an experience at the fort, anything like that before? I mean, did you...
Well, only... Not as explicit as that, we'll say. But... feelings, you know, and like you'd feel maybe you were getting a connection with this, you know, the spiritual world, the world of the fairies or whatever, you know. And it's like I was saying, that sometimes I would go and stand on the fort and just more or less kind of meditate on the silence, if you like.
Yeah.
And when you meditate on the silence, and when you hear the silence, then beyond that, again, deeper into that, you'll hear like the music of the fairies, like, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
And how long ago was that, Michael?
That would have been about, geez, what would that be? About four years ago, I suppose. Four or five years ago, maybe.
Pretty recent.
Yeah, pretty recently, yeah. And that same horse is now in France.
Is that right?
In Toulouse, in France, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good. That's an amazing story.
Yeah.